Well, good evening. It is great to see everyone this evening. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Tonight, I'd like to take a look here for a few moments and thinking about the expectation at times that God has. I don't know that always we understand just how incredible it is to be a child of God. And I'm not trying to make that light in any way, shape, or form, or to take that lightly. But I think about this and the responsibilities at times that we have. But here in Ephesians 1, I want you to go down to the end of verses 22 and 23. Often we quote these. I want you to think about these words. As Paul writes to the church, so he's writing to Christians here at Ephesus. And notice what he says. And he put all things under his feet, he being God, his feet being the feet of Christ. And he gave him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. You know, oftentimes it's pretty easy for us to say that we need Jesus. And obviously we absolutely do. But I don't know that we often think about the fact that he needs us. And I understand you may look at me and say, well, Corey, he doesn't really need anything from us. I get where you're going. He doesn't have a necessity that I'm going to fill for him personally. But he has a need for me as far as being a part of his body. As far as me being a part of the church. Go to Isaiah chapter 6 and we see more of what that looks like in our lives. You see, he has chosen us, those that would be a part of his body. He has chosen us to fulfill his purpose. He has given us a purpose. And we talk about that purpose from time to time. But here in Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, notice what Isaiah writes. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And it stood, above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole of earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, your sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Isaiah looks at him and he says, "I am undone," in verse 5. "I am cut off, I'm destroyed, because I have seen the Lord of hosts." Here he sees God seated on his throne, high and lifted up. He is exalted. He is in his rightful, his proper place. Who will he send for us? The same thing that we see in Genesis 1 in verse number 26. That word there, Elohim, stands for the entirety of the Godhead. Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." You see, that, when we think about Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, the fullness of him who fills all in all, we fulfill that purpose that he has given to us as the church, as his body. That we get to be those who would be like Isaiah. "Here am I, send me." Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and we see what that looks like then in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, with that idea of Isaiah saying, "Here am I, send me." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul begins there to talk about the ministry. That ministry of going out and preaching and teaching the gospel. And he goes in depth beginning in verse number 7 here of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. I want you to think about this. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's you and I. We are the earthen vessel. This treasure, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we get to preach and proclaim, that we get to live and help others to see every single day. You see, that's the responsibility we have. Here am I, send me. Why? Because what we get to demonstrate is the excellence of the power of God and not of us. We get to demonstrate that power of God. Romans 1 and verse 16, where Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." There's the power that we get to take out, the gospel of Jesus Christ in earthen vessels, this fleshly body that we have. I want you to notice there, as he continues, verses 8 and 9, do you see the contrasting things? We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We talk about at times being between a rock in a hard place, right? We are hard pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. Why aren't we crushed? Well, because of God and because of the power of the message that we deliver and we preach. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I may wonder at times why these things happen, why these things are taking place. And especially you think back to the first century with men like the Apostle Paul. Why would you want to kill me when all I want is the absolute best for you? We're not cut off. There are things that we have to accomplish, things that are to be done. God's word is going to be accomplished. His will is going to be done. We don't have to despair over those things. We can understand in looking at the life of those who came before us and looking at the life of men like Jesus. Not everyone was going to accept the message. Think about Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, if you continued on there in verses 9 and following, that God was going to, he's going to ask, "What do you want me to do?" And he says, "I want you to go to the people and I want you to preach to them." Because what's going to happen is, hearing, they're not going to actually pay attention to what you say. Seeing, they're actually not going to perceive what they are supposed to be doing. But your responsibility is to keep preaching and keep teaching regardless of what the people are going to do. This is our responsibility in the church, to live it regardless if people change or not. We need to be those that continue to go out and to preach and to teach. Paul continues here in verse 9. He says, "We're persecuted, but not forsaken. God's not going to leave us." 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Those things come. People are not going to always obey, and people are certainly not going to want to listen and hear the things that are being taught, the things that are being lived, the things that we continue to do. He says, continuing on there, "We are struck down, not destroyed." There are going to be those times that people are going to come at us, those times that people are not going to want to listen to those things. They're not going to want to bear them. And he gives us there in verse 10 that we are always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested, clearly seen in our body. That we demonstrate that example that he sets for us. You know, I think about this in the church, because I will be honest, there's a buddy of mine that we've been corresponding back and forth on some things and looking at some things, and we have, one of those places is there in Ephesians 1. He said, "You ever thought about it that way?" And I said, "Well, I realize that, you know, we're supposed to be out preaching and teaching. I realize that our responsibility as Christians in the church is to be the church, and allow the church to be seen, that we are a part of the body of Christ, and that my responsibility is, as a preacher, obviously I preach and teach the gospel, but as a Christian, period, I help others to see those same things. And he said, yeah, I don't know that I always looked at it that way. He said, I know and understand the responsibility I have as a preacher. But he said, I will tell you that I don't know that I've ever looked at the fact that at times Jesus needs me. He said, I would always think that I have to have him. I have to have the blood of his sacrifice and his grace. And I need all of those things to cover my sin. And I say, amen. Absolutely we do. He said, yeah, but Corey, I don't know that I ever look at the fact that he needs me to do anything for him. He can accomplish it all. Well, certainly he can, but that doesn't negate my responsibility. And he said, I think that's the main part that I don't always think about and look at, is my responsibility. I always think that his purpose is going to be accomplished whether I do things or not. But then he said, I stopped and I started to think about it this way. When I look at those verses that Paul wrote, he said, it challenged me to think about, do I actually demonstrate those things? So I actually understand that if I live my life according to his purpose and according to fulfilling my responsibility as a child of God, a member of the body of Christ, that if in this time that I have, in this life that I live, that if I'm doing all of those things correctly, if I'm living my life that way, then this is what I should be seeing people treating me like. And he said, I don't think that I have lived my life in that exact manner. And I will tell you, that one stopped me. That one stopped me because I think about that. And I've had people call me names or had people that have said some things. But I will tell you that in the country that we live in the place where we get to live, I don't know that I've seen those things in my life as well. He says, we are always delivered to death, that the life of Jesus may be seen in my life, so that they can see and understand how I live my life, so that they would live their life the same way. He said, I wonder at times how closely with the world I really try to truly walk, instead of just walking like Christ would have me to, that I will try to look more like them than like him. He said, those are things that I've been challenged and I have to change. And I want you to think about this. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we were in verses 1 through 3 this morning. I want to go down to verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you see the contrast here? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. You think about what he says there. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men but chosen by God and precious. Jesus is that way. So are we. You. He gets personal with the church. You're chosen. You've been selected. You also, as living stones, being built up as spiritual homes, holy priesthood. We offer up that sacrifice, the praise of our life. Not just the lip service that we give, but the life service that we demonstrate and that we show. We offer up those sacrifices that are acceptable to God, notice, through Christ. We do so in His name. We do so proclaiming His death, burial, and resurrection. And there are going to be people who will believe it, listen to it, live it, change. Because you know what? Here's the thing, and this is what I want us to think about. Were we always obedient? Do we always listen? Did we always live it? No, we didn't. We were just like them at times. We rejected those things. We didn't accept them at all. Instead, there were times in our life that we rejected those things. He became the chief cornerstone. We changed. We heard His word. And I think oftentimes what happens is we prejudge somebody as to whether or not they're going to listen and pay attention. We're going to prejudge somebody as to whether or not they are going to be worth our time. Jesus said, "You're worth my life." So somebody else out there, everyone else out there, worth our time. Worth talking to, worth living for, worth showing this to. In verses 7 and 8, he really describes the world and those people who would reject him. But in verse 9, you see that, "But you." So in contrast to those that Jesus and his message would be a stumbling block or a rock of offense to. I love that word, stumbling block. Jordan talked about that stumbling block Wednesday evening in his devotional. That word in the Greek is skandalon. It's where we derive our word scandalous. You understand, to be a stumbling block, we are a scandalous person. Scandalous. Somebody who has really purposely been that way for people. Purposely kept them from following. We aren't to be those type of people. But that's the way that they viewed the Word of God. That's the way that they viewed Jesus. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. You know, we stand out. I believe the King James here calls them peculiar. They stand out. They're different. Are we different? Do we stand out? Do people see us that way? Are we different than everybody else around us? We're peculiar. Chosen by Him. We're different. We're not like everybody else. So that we can demonstrate and show that. Notice verse 10. We praise Him in verse 9. We proclaim His praises because He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Not always were we the children of God. Now we are. Notice there. Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. Not just a people of God, the people of God. Not a body, the body. The one and only. That's who He's talking about. You are the chosen people of God who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. We've changed. The things in our life have changed. Those things cause us to now stand out. And so I would ask you tonight, look with me at Hebrews chapter 6. I want you to think about this in your life. You ever thought about the fact that Jesus needs you? I mean, we read those words, right? In Isaiah 6, and we often think about verse 8, "Hear my, send me." Who are we going to send? Well, "Hear my, send me." And then we think, "I'm going to do that because we got Prashant. He's in India. Hear my, send me." With him, through him, by him. That's really what the preacher said he would do when he dedicated his life to being a preacher. It's what all of us said we would do when we became a child of God. "I will go for you. I will live for you. I will be that special, peculiar person that you've called me to be." And here in Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 9, this is the why behind it. "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know the incredible part about the church? We're not alone. We have brethren, those of like precious faith, those that help us, those that set the example, those that we can imitate and emulate, and those that will help us along the way. I'm so thankful for you. I'm thankful for you because whether you know it or not, each of you, because you show up, and I don't just mean here, you show up in the lives of those around you. You show up in the lives of your brothers and sisters in Christ. You show up in the lives and the people that are outside of the church. You show up. That's that ministering, serving, helping, being there for them. And as such, notice what comes because of it. In verse 9, he says, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. You see, that's what we all desire. It's what we all want, to live eternally in heaven. And I think about these words of the Hebrew writer, the challenge. Don't be sluggish. In verse 12, imitate those. We're going to have those days when we're going to feel down. We're going to have those days when perhaps it's not the easiest. Don't wait for someone to reach out. You reach out. I can tell you that there are days that, for me, there are days that I sit down and you start to put together a lesson and you're working through things and looking at things. There are a lot of preacher friends of mine that I call and call on, because I want to make sure David's prayer tonight, and this prayer is prayed often, and I'm thankful for it, so don't misunderstand me, that I can get things away in a manner that you'll understand, that you'll be able to make application of. I love talking to preachers. I love the fact that I have men in my life that I can call on and I can bend their ear, and they're always willing to help out. And there are guys that'll call and say, hey, what do you think about this or that? And to be able to have those talks. Because I can tell you there are times when, as a preacher, you begin to feel like you're doing nothing more than taking different verses, but a lot of times it feels like you say the same type of thing. You sound almost, or feel like you sound like a broken record. The thing that I want you to understand is those are the times, I don't know that I feel sluggish, but I certainly feel like there's something else that maybe I could say in a better way, so that you'd understand it even better. And I love that there are guys a lot smarter than me who can put it across a lot better than me that I get to talk to. And so a lot of times the words that you hear may not necessarily be what I would have said. Be close. But those words, I hope, hit home a little better, because with me they do. They make it to where it's easier to get that point across. I want to be somebody who comes across as being sluggish. I don't want to be someone who comes across as being, a better word for that would be lazy. Especially not when it comes to being a Christian. I don't want to look like a lazy Christian. I want to be a hard worker. I want to be a minister, a servant, somebody who's helping others out, helping them to understand. And that's why I love that we get to look at Scripture and you think about these places like Ephesians 1, to get to be a part of the body of Christ, His body. That fullness of Him, that we fulfill His purpose for us to go out and preach and teach the gospel, that we get to be those, like Paul writes about in 2 Corinthians, to say that we get to go out and we get to be those earthen vessels that get to help others to see what Jesus would have them to do. Why? Because all we're concerned about is their salvation, and we're going to look different because we're supposed to look different. And our message isn't going to be like everybody else's message. It's going to be different. Because when we look at the Scriptures, it's all we're going to preach.
It's all we're going to teach, and thus it's all we're going to live.
Why? So I can go to heaven? So that I can help others go to heaven? Because ultimately it's all I want. It's the whole purpose of this life, to get to the next one, so that we can live with Christ forevermore. Maybe tonight you think about your diligence, and you think about that hope of heaven, and you think about the life that you're living, and maybe perhaps tonight you feel like one of those that needs some help, needs to be uplifted a little bit, needs something to be able to help you get over the hump. Perhaps you feel like a broken record as well at times. Let me tell you something. Your diligence isn't rewarded by man. I want you to pay attention for just a second to verse 10. It says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown," not said, shown, "toward his name." God doesn't forget. He's the rewarder. He's the one who grants salvation. He's the reason that we continue on every single day. And he's the reason that we have the church and one another to lean on, to build us up, to help us over those times when we feel perhaps like all we're doing is spinning our wheels and not getting anywhere. We can call on one another. We can be there for one another. But we have to have that desire, that diligence, to show people what it is to be a child of God every day, so that we can help them to go to heaven as well. This evening, if you're here and you're not yet a child of God, it's time to put your faith in action. Your faith comes by hearing the Word of God, changing to be like Him, conforming your life to Him, not Him to your life. Being willing to repent of your sin, buried with Him in baptism, where His blood washes away your sin, you rise to walk in newness of life. Or maybe tonight, as a child of God, you feel at those times that you're just spinning your wheels. Let me tell you something. You have a purpose. Your purpose in the church is to help spread the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to help others understand what it is to be a child of God, how to become one, and how to live for Him every day so that they can go to heaven. Tonight, if we can help you in any way, we'd encourage you to come now, as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.